Welcome to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
Hello, Sleepy Buns. I am Philip.
Oh, we are post brunch, post wrangling our three buns to go get nail trims.
Yeah. And you aren't even fully awake by the time we got to brunch.
No, because we were like, we need to go there early because we have the rabbit appointment.
Yeah.
And then we were still so late to the rabbit appointment that we went there first without the bunnies. We're like, hey, can we still swing by? And they're super nice, and they're like, yeah, just bring them in.
They were super nice.
So
they're the best. And I think they're training a new person in on the nail trims, too.
Maybe.
Or, like, just training them.
I think she's around some of the time. She had to leave. So, like, her last nail trim was Asta that she assisted on.
Yeah, but we hadn't seen her there before.
No.
So the more people, the better.
Yes, because we've learned that it takes two of them to trim Asta.
And Nick.
Yeah.
One was holding him, the other was trimming his nails, and then poor Buddy needed his scent gland cleaned.
Yeah, he is a messy bun who doesn't do a great job. There's a lot of fluff. Like,
that's what I was telling them too. Like, his fur is different enough from the others that that might be contributing, that it's just so much more volume
to, like, clean the privates. Yeah. So that's done for another few months.
Yes.
But it needed to happen this weekend. We were like, we need to stop there and see if they can do it because...
Yeah, because next weekend is the Pride Wrestling Show.
Yeah.
July 1st, which is going to be amazing. Week after is a garden weekend at your place.
And then your family reunion in Iowa.
It's the weekend after that.
Like, do we stop at another comic store?
Do we stop at Austin on the way down?
Maybe.
Maybe. Depends on what the schedule is for picking up tables and chairs, since I'm helping organize.
Yes.
Which you don't have to help
with. No, we'll figure that out. But did we ever talk about Des Moines Con?
We haven't.
Well, this is coming out in July. So Des Moines Con is like a month and a half back. But we did go to Des Moines Con. And
we saw our friends from the Uncanny Experience.
Yeah, Dylan and Chandler were there. Colin, who is Iceman cosplay. And it was like an hour-ish drive from your family farm.
Yep.
And we went in. You went as Madrox. I went in as myself. and met Dave Wheeler.
He was super nice.
Super great.
I need to actually post things on my Instagram because I'm really bad at it.
I mean, I have the Alpha Flight jam piece being worked on currently.
Yeah, Dave Wheeler did Box
for Box you. Madison Jeffries Box, not Roger Box Box. We'll get into it as we read through Alpha Flight. Yeah. There's a clear difference between the two. So I requested Madison Jeffries. He was very enthusiastic to do it. Did a great job.
And super nice.
Yeah.
Wonderful guy to talk to. Very knowledgeable. Like, very much. I could go down this rabbit hole and talk about this for like half an hour.
Yes. So I foresee future hangs with Dave Wheeler. It'd be great to get him onto an Alpha Flight episode because he said like he didn't keep many physical comics at all. But one of the few things he has is the complete run of this volume one of Alpha Flight.
That's true. And he knows wrestling people.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is super fun.
Yeah. He does design work for...
Creative Pro.
Yes. And I probably the major figure, like...
Toy line
that they have.
Matt Cardona and Brian Myers.
Yes. So really like... Check so many boxes for conversation with us. So,
and super nice
and great art. Like, he does great work.
What is your active commission with him?
Oh, it's I went up as we were leaving. I'm like, I want to go ask Dave to do a commission for me. And I'm like, can you do the most homoerotic Hercules ever? And his response was, oh, so Hercules.
Yes.
So, and he's like, harness or no harness? And I said, harness. And his response was, hell yeah. And I'm like, the only parameter is he needs the beard. No 90s beardless Hercules.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's just so weird.
Yeah.
Nigh unrecognizable.
So that he's going to work on that this upcoming week. He's up north. It's Minnesota.
And the weather is amazing.
This weekend's weather is perfect, like
high 60s,
which is probably holding for up north too, like low 70s in the cities yesterday.
Yeah.
There's not a cloud in the sky today. Nice breeze.
And so. Even yesterday, like it started out rainy. Like I woke up to the rain.
Yeah.
But then, and it was still wet when I put clothes on the line, but it dried up super fast. It was a perfect day. We grilled.
Yep.
I did a shit ton of laundry, and all I did in the dryer was fluff it to get the lint off.
Oh.
And other than that, it all dried outside, which is super fun.
Yeah.
Like our bedding, the bun bedding.
Yeah.
Bonus sheets that I found in a random cart in the basement.
Because they've been there for decades. And it's like, might as well use them.
I'm sure at least two of them were purchased before I was born.
Yep.
So, yeah. And now I have new sheets.
And
there's some nice cherry blossoms on my bed right now.
Yes. And it, one of the first things I did when my house was built was put in clothes poles.
Yeah, I remember digging those holes.
Because it's like, why not? Like, why should I use energy when nature can take care of all of this drying for me?
And I don't, maybe this is why people move to California, because they think it's this weather, but all the time, which I guess I can see that appeal, sort of. I need seasons. But this is like the perfect Minnesota weather.
It is. And it's similar weather to what will happen during the Uncanny experience in late September.
I was about to say that Uncanny last year had this perfect weather. Yep. As well.
Yeah.
It was a joy to be like walking around downtown Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Like, we went to supper with our friends. We went to the Saloon, which is one of the queer bars. We went to another queer bar after the podcast social, which was super fun.
Yeah. And the podcast social, I'm still trying to find a host site for it. It will happen. We'll find a site for it. I'm just trying to get it in the same place, but new owners, like they closed down the brewery we held it at.
I know.
And then it's still a brewery, but they just opened up again. So yeah. I think I need to go there in person and pitch them.
Which is fine, because there's a comic book shop across the street.
It's
and
true.
Game store.
Yep.
Yeah, perfect weather, but also really want to take a nap post-brunch, post-brunch.
And it's hard because it's Sunday. So you're like, you cannot screw yourself with an afternoon nap on a Sunday.
No, because it sets a tone for the week, and the Sunday scaries are a thing.
Yes. Well,
you know, what else is a Sunday scary? When I opened up the app to read these issues, and I'm like, oh, it says Alpha Flight, but it looks like a 2-in-1.
Oh.
Because it has the thing on the cover.
Yeah, so we're covering issues 9 and 10. The second to the last of our episodes, where we're covering just two issues, because there's still so much establishing content. In the corner box, we have Sasquatch and Aurora, because those are the only two Alpha characters that we'll see.
Yeah, these are the sort of foundational issues that are, I think, are oh so good because of the deep character work that's done in them.
And the deep character work is on Walter Lankowski's
and
Sasquatch.
Show up in this remote research structure.
It's the Mount Logan Cosmic Ray Research Station.
I thought, oh, Mount Logan, is that just a Wolverine reference? But
he wasn't named Logan at this point.
It was referenced that it's the tallest peak in Canada.
Oh.
It's like a, looks like a trailer almost. Like,
it's a research facility, remote outpost sort of thing.
And we get some background as to what's happening. But also, as the poet Robert Service once had it, the Northern Lights have seen queer sights. Is it us?
Yeah.
But tonight, perhaps they shall see the queerest of all. I just think that's fun.
So inside the research station, we have 5 people. We'll get to know some of their names.
Yeah.
By the by, there's a man with a mustache. That's Colonel McMurdo. Damn it, John Byrne, with your Mac names again.
Right.
Colonel McMurdo.
I saw that. I'm like, oh no, there's another one. And then there's Meg / Megan. And there is,
well, we might get their names as we go through.
Oh, Green, but we don't find that out until at the very end of the issue.
So there's an unusual reading coming through.
Yes.
And there's a debate whether is this normal or not.
Which, if you have seen Star Trek, you know it's not.
It's really not.
It's usually a ship in your warp trail.
So Walter Lankowski is like, no, this is weird enough. We should maybe do something about it.
And he's at odds with McMurdo. They do not get along.
Yes.
But Meg is like, it's happening. It's right on schedule.
So they basically use this giant satellite dish to intercept whatever signal this is. And we get Ben Grimm.
Yeah.
Appearing.
It's like a weird in between, like as he's forming. Mm-hmm. But in the third panel, it's clearly him. The blue trunks. The orange gravel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is the thing.
And he tumbles down and is just passed out.
Yes. And Walter sort of goes through this, like, do I, don't I? And unlike North Star, he Sasquatches out.
Yeah, because he's like, I don't know if I should tip my hand, but the only way we're going to get this passed out thing inside for medical help is if I'm Sasquatch.
Yeah.
So there's a whole series of three panels of him transforming where it says his clothing tightens and burst. That means that, I mean, Sasquatch is just naked in Sasquatch form.
I think that's why he has such long tufts, sort of like the Chewbacca burlesque.
Yes, he has it covering his junk.
Yes. But we see the transformation. We get those brows. We get that iconic Sasquatch shape.
Yeah, not talking about a failed commission I had of Sasquatch.
No.
It will live in infamy.
So he easily picks up thing and also easily peels back a wall.
Yeah, so I think it's a modular building.
That's what I was thinking before.
You know, like in high school, in the early 2000s, when they're just like, these are portable classrooms.
And
it's a FEMA trailer.
Yes, and then portables become somehow permanent for the next 20 years.
Oh, they did. Like at my high school, like the portables were installed in like 99.
Oh.
Or 98. And then they're like, oh yeah, well, this is where all the language arts classes are.
They didn't do that for my high school, but I was a tutor in college at the high school in Washington.
Mm.
And that was where I would do the algebra tutoring.
Mm.
It was super weird. Although, like Mass Effect, when they do their outposts, it's the same sort of deal.
I still need to play that game.
It's so good.
You and Dylan can talk about Mass Effect.
And Iceman cosplay.
Yes. So he gets Thing in, and the doctor at the station is like, well, he's alive, but like, I can't really get any other readings.
I don't have a baseline for this.
Yeah. So
like in the middle panel, he's just holding his bald head like, what?
Yeah.
What do I do?
And Sasquatch sits on the floor because there's not enough room for him to stand. And I'm sure no furniture would bear his weight.
No. And he's like, in any case, my guess is correct. He may have been beaming down from another planet when we plucked him out of the ether. But we don't know about this. None of the readers know about this because see current and upcoming issues of the Fantastic Four.
Which John Byrne is also writing and drawing.
Oh. So there's a little footnote there.
Yes. From Denny O'Neill, the editor.
Yes.
So they're like, the doctor's like, get out of here. I need to figure this out. I can't focus with McMurdo and Sasquatch hovering around me. He's at a microscope. He's looking at it. And then we see a hip as he is like snatched backwards. And the last thing Dr. John Duncan will ever see is a rocky orange paw hanging motionless above his bulging eyes.
Oh.
So he's dead.
He saw something that he was not expecting with the blood sample that he eventually got.
And you see there's a long purple thing over him, draped over him.
Yes.
It'll make sense soon. So anyways, Sasquatch is unsasquatched and he's Walter again.
In a new outfit because the other one is shredded. Which, why wouldn't you, like, I feel like sweaters in the 70s, you didn't just rip.
Yeah. This is the 80s.
This is the 80s. So in the 80s, you didn't just rip a sweater.
But he's wearing a magenta sweater and green pants, and that's power clashing.
It is a power clash.
So he's sitting with
Megan.
They're having coffee, and
he's getting some background of his abilities. Like, it's exhausting to transform too many times too close together.
And then we get someone else coming in. Oh, but first she's like, but everything enlarges proportionally. Heart, lungs, even your GI tract.
She was not asking about his GI tract.
I think maybe she just wanted to know, like, do you have monster dumps?
Either that or, like, What size dildo is appropriate for pegging you?
Ooh, yes.
Yes.
The Great American Challenge is the correct answer.
Great Canadian Challenge.
Yes. It smells like maple.
Oh, wait, that's a thing.
Scented dildos?
No, the gigantic thing.
The Great American Challenge?
Yes.
Yes.
That's what you were saying.
Yes, a rite of passage here in the Twin Cities was you turn 18 and you go to Sex World, the sex toy store.
Oh.
In downtown Minneapolis.
I never did
where
that.
You could ride a penis. Like it's...
Oh.
Like you put coins in and you ride this gigantic dick.
Oh. I was not out when I was 18.
Neither was I. You still go with friends to Sex World.
Oh, I was super sheltered.
Yes, you were.
I am super sheltered.
And you are, yes.
Yes.
So anyways, someone else comes in. They're like, Lankowski, come quick. Something's happening in the infirmary.
And I think that's court guard.
Okay. So they run there and...
And Lankowski does not need to be Sasquatch to break this flimsy plywood door.
Because he's a former all-pro linebacker. We sort of seen that the doc has been roasted to a crisp. So this
which is not how we left him.
No, this is, things are starting to add up to a reveal. And they're like, what? Well, no one broke in. Someone broke out of this room. Like,
no, someone did break in. They did not break out. Like the stuff is pushed in.
Someone went out through this wall. Someone broke out of the room.
Oh, the window was open. That's how they think it got in. Or they were invisible the whole time.
Yes. So we're getting someone's crispy. Someone may have been invisible. There was a rock arm and a very stretchy something over the doctor. How mysterious.
Or they stretched along to open the window. But it's also super cold out, so Walter Lankowski bundles up, follows the footprints, and gets to a weird spot where the snow has been turned to ice because it was flash melted
yes.
and then refroze.
And then realization blooms like a black rose in his heart, cutting short his thoughts. And he realizes something. He's like, what a bloody fool I've been. Only one creature possesses all the powers of the Fantastic Four. The murdering, marauding, .. And he gets blasted.
And he tumbles down the mountainside and the research station is in flames.
Poor Megan.
He feels like he broke his arm. It's unusable, but he rushes over. He finds Megan. And like it's a two-face situation. Like half her face is burned.
Yeah.
And she gives a little bit like...
Court guard green.
Yes.
Seems like they're dead. What about McMurdo?
Oh, he dead. Last thing I remember, brilliant light outside, like a supernova. Then, oh God, Walt, it was horrible. Everything seemed to catch on fire at once. McMurdo went up like a bonfire. I feel so strange. And she does not hold on.
She dies in his arms. And he starts shouting like, show yourself, blast you, come up before I come after you. And we get bold words, human, as a figure emerges from flames.
With bold shoulder pads.
I judge correctly, you are the only warrior in this pathetic group. The only one worthy to face me, to see my true form before you die. I guessed right, didn't I? Somehow, it was you all along. Not the thing at all. You miserable alien scum.
It's Super Skrull.
Next issue, Blood Battle. It's not what you'd expect.
No. But we get more origins coming up. The stranger in my mirror.
A stranger in my mirror. All about Aurora, and we catch her on the roof of the school where she's attending as a young girl.
She is so miserable.
Yeah, she's like, I discovered this secret place 5 years ago. It was my sanctuary. I loved it, but now I'm going to jump to my death.
It's true.
And she leaps off, and then a miracle happens. She starts flying. And she is zooming all around in her nightgown. And then we cut to the next day where she's talking to a nun, and she's like, listen, some crazy stuff happened. I think it's from heaven. And that's the wrong thing to say to a Catholic nun, apparently.
Yes, this is A school run by nuns that is so severe that
they have wings on their heads.
They have wings on their heads. It is the last school that they can do this at. Like, it's on the verge of the Vatican being like, no, you need to get with the program. Which is not really a thing, because there's still a lot of parishes that resisted the Vatican II reforms. And this is one of those places. Like, you know that mass is in Latin. You have to wear chapel veils.
Yes.
The priest doesn't even look at the congregation.
Yeah, he's just facing God.
Yes.
So she gets super punished for trying to be like, I flew because Jesus wanted me to.
There was a caning.
Yep.
She had to skip meals because she was told to do 1,000 Hail Marys in the chapel.
Father Terrell wanted to give her food, but she's been prohibited meals.
And he's he is afraid of this nun. Sister Anne.
Yeah.
Is the worst.
1,000 Hail Marys. And then Jean-Marie goes to the bathroom and is like, oh, like, I can't believe this. And then she looks up in the mirror and it's Aurora peeking back.
Yes.
And telling her, don't be afraid. I'm your friend. I bring you a very special present. I bring you freedom. And then we cut to a scene where
3 days later, all these little Madelines,
yes, are like, she's back. She must be crazy. Sister Anne will kill her.
Are you wearing makeup?
Yeah. Very judgy.
And she goes and approaches the nun and is very apologetic. But that nun is like white knuckling that cane. She's
going to wail the shit out of her.
Yeah, which is so
abusive.
Yes, inappropriate, abusive, all the things. And Jean-Marie never again seeks her secret place. And when she looks in mirrors, she guards herself, intent on seeing only her familiar, relentlessly plain face displayed in the glass.
And we're moving forward years.
Yes, she is now 18. She has applied to become a teacher at this school.
And they're like, you know, we're so glad that you got over that one time you wore makeup. Do you remember? It was so embarrassing for you.
Yes.
And it's like, nun, shut up.
Like, it'd be a shame if I had to cane you again for it.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, you can have this room.
It's a cold, dusty attic room. It is the room that was once used by the late Father Tyrell. In fact, he died in that very bed.
Like, nun is a bitch.
This nun is the worst. So, yeah. But somehow Jean-Marie is very relieved. Maybe just because she's alone and the nun has left.
Yeah. And she catches herself in the mirror.
After saying, now I have everything I've ever dreamt. And the mirror reflection says, have you? You have a cold little room in a cold little school. Is that enough for you, Jean-Marie? Enough for one who flew?
And Jean-Marie is horrified. She's like, no, no. And she throws a book, smashes the mirror. And then collapses on her bed and is like, no, 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 leave me alone. But Jean-Marie's pleading is a pitiful, crumbling resistance because Aurora takes over. And within the hour, at a fashionable night spot in Montreal, she is, having some drinks, meeting some men's. And it looks like there's a shirtless bartender, which, okay, sure. And
oh, I miss a shirtless bartender when I read it.
And she's talking with, like, a man. She's talking astrology with a man. Like, she would be caned so bad.
Oh, that bartender is like a Chippendale dancer.
Yeah, he's got
the white little collar and bow tie and then bare arms.
Then some thugs see her walking home and they're like, oh, she's not carrying a purse, but we can still have fun with her.
Some would-be rapists in the alley.
Yeah. They pull her in and they're like, we won't hurt you much. And she just punches the shit out of one of them. Another one pulls a knife and we get a shadowy stranger who'd seen this from afar saying, hey, bub, we know who it is. It's Wolverine.
Big reveal.
With only one claw.
It's true.
And he gets rid of this other guy and then he's like, hey, let's go for a cup of coffee. People call me Wolverine and I have a friend who might be interested.
How about a quick trip to Ottawa? And she's like, I'm up for anything. And that's the girl who would become Aurora. But where's her speedster sibling, Jean-Paul?
The mystery continues to unfold next issue in The Origin of North Star.
Don't miss it.
Issue 10, which there are so many great iconic covers in Alpha Flight. I would say the first,
The Stand Aside Superhero, We Got
like the
This
John
cover.
Byrne run of Alpha Flight, which is the first 28 issues, I think. So many great covers. This one is all Sasquatch with fire in his eyes.
That I think it's number three with Aurora flying through those bars is so good.
Snowbirds, white cover, the ones
That Snowblind.
they just homaged a bunch of them for the recent Alpha Flight series
Oh, that's fun.
with Marina on the globe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So this one, we have Sasquatch with flames in his eyes. There are
So this is
flames,
a
flames, flames on the side of his eyeballs.
We're in New York with Walter Lankowski. No,
Nope, this is Mac.
it is Mac.
Mac is getting an apartment. So he found a nice brownstone since, and we haven't really talked about him in a while, but he got a job from Roxxon.
Yeah, he got job offer was where we left him.
Oh.
He got that letter in the mail, and
And now here he is.
he's in the same brownstone as Steve Rogers.
Yeah, they pass each other on the stairs, and Steve Rogers is like, there's something familiar about that guy. He has the aura of a guy that bears great responsibility and
And
great powers.
this the woman is Bernie, who was Captain America's girlfriend for a while.
Wasn't he dating one of the Serpent Society people?
That comes later.
That's 90s.
No, that's after Bernie. It's still in the 80s,
Oh,
but
okay. That's the Grunwald run.
Grunwald run. This is the J.M. DeMatteis run, I believe,
Oh.
when he was writing Cap, and that's when he was with Bernie.
Okay.
And Bernie comes back in the Grunwald run.
Well, that's fun. Like, it's a good choice of dialogue for her because you know that Steve is not paying attention. And it's like a very authentic snippet of a conversation. So I said to her if she thought that she, like, the full recount situation.
And so then we get Mac, he signed a lease and then he goes up to a roof. No,
No,
an
he's in an alley. He
alleyway changing.
feels like a legit superhero since he's changing in a New York City alleyway.
And he has a duffel like I just sewed.
Like you just sewed, which is still super impressive. Folks, check it out on Daryl's Instagram.
It's the show, Instagram.
On the show Instagram. So he's flying around. He's like, I wonder if I'll ever meet Spider-Man. Do you think he has a duffel? I need advice from Spider-Man. And yeah, he's just having a good time floating around. I wonder how the rest of Alpha Flight is going. And then we get the title page with a large flaming rocky super squirrel shattering some rocks above Walter Lankowski, who's running,
Holding his arm.
holding his arm because continuity is a thing.
And he's just getting attacked. Like he is on the run from Super Skrull.
Yeah, there's some flaming darts. He ducks under. We get a little recap of what happened,
As you do.
as you do. And oh, he's done with the recap. It's time for the villain to find him.
I weary of this game, human. Have you so little love of life that you accept death with such paltry resistance? I'm a warrior, Earthman. I crave the hunt, the chase. You survive only so long as you amuse me.
And Walter runs down, he jumps off the hillside into a big thing of snow, but it's so deep and so powdery, he just falls within it and can't be found. And Super Skrull is like, what? What's happening?
He's full Human Torch with the lines on the red.
Oh, that's a iconic Human Torch thing?
That's a Human Torch design,
Oh, that's fun that it carries over. And like all of his brow ridges have different lines, so it gives a nice shape.
And then we see that Walter is transformed into Sasquatch at great risk to himself. Like he was scared.
He's never transformed when he's injured before and with a broken arm. But it happens, it's very painful. And Sasquatch is pissed. He grabs the ankles of the Super Skrull and just slams him into the snow. And he has harnessed the awesome transformation of Walter Lankowski into Sasquatch and has heard. Has heard the good natured joviality that was the giant's trademark, but that is not here now. Like, because in the previous eight issues, we've seen, like, he jokes, he's fun, he's amiable, he's a good time.
Yes.
He's there to have fun as Sasquatch, but no, not this. Like, there's no quips, there's no jokes. There's just like, I'm going to murder this.
Yeah. And a big battle ensues. Like, Sasquatch is just tearing up pieces of the ground covered with snow and ice and throwing it at Super Skrull, who evades because he has the Mr. Fantastic bendy powers.
And he even thinks to himself, thank goodness I do, because that would have doused my flame. And he is not doing great.
He being Super Skrull.
Super Skrull, yes. Then he flies around, and I love that Sasquatch just hurls a snowbank at him. And then he goes off of, like, only my invisibility force field prevented him from dousing my flame again. I must be careful, but my power is even greater than that of the Fantastic Four, even greater than that of the Human Torch.
And then he's like, my blood boils, the pain, I cannot bear the pain.
And Sasquatch goes in for the kill, but as Super Skrull scrabbles and crawls across the snow, he apparently has hypnotism powers. Did you know this? I did not know this. But he does. He's got, like, the pink glowy beams coming from his eyes into Sasquatch's eyes. And it's been a long time since I've used my hypnotic powers, but now it seems like a great time to use them. You are going to help me build a dish to get home. So we got a little bit of a recap
of where he's been.
Super Skrull was on a boat.
He was doing some villain stuff. He's been battling.
He was on a boat trying to get a crystal, but Spider-Man and Ms. Marvel beat him up. And they created an electro net. So when he tried to beam himself back to Hela, no. Whatever the throne world is. Maybe that is Hela.
No, that's a woman. Hela's a woman.
It's also a planet.
Do you mean Hala?
Hala. I do mean Hala.
Okay.
Like the bread.
He got intercepted by the radio dish from last issue.
Yeah. Like, he got bounced back to Earth because Galactus was eating the throne world. And when he was stuck in the McNeil bands, which I think are part of the magnetic field, like, he got stuck there until he materialized in that dish. And as he's recounting all of this, he adds in, like, you will obey me. But Sasquatch has already come out of it. He reasserts himself and finds that as the Skrull drones on, that a theory is forming. And so he realized that when Super Skrull was, like, all atoms trapped in the radiation belt, he has super leukemia.
Oh.
Like, this is real. This takes a turn for the weird.
This got dark.
Yeah. He's like, Super Skrull is dying. He's trying to get back. I'll play along. And
play along he does as they gather wreckage from the outpost.
Yeah. It's a little bit like the 4400, which is a sort of obscure sci-fi show. Like, there's a thing where a mysterious radio tower is built. And built this one is with Sasquatch's help. And Super Skrull is like, we need to wait for the proper time for you to shoot me off into space so that I can make it back to the throne world. Which I'm confused because didn't Galactus eat it like a page ago?
I don't know.
Galactus ate it. He got bounced back, but now he thinks it's still there to go back to. And he has another attack, and Sasquatch is like, ha, now is my moment. I was waiting for you to have another bout of pain. He throws him on the tower, beams him into space, but the timing is not correct. So Super Skrull is instead still trapped in the McNeil radiation bands.
Well,
so much so that he'll have like 5 minutes of life left if he ever materializes again due to the super leukemia, which is weird.
So then he's loping down the mountain.
Yeah.
Sasquatch.
His atoms are scattered, practice off on the background, Kowski. So he has some way that beating Super Skrull balances the deaths of those five people at the research station. They just came for science. And he sort of lopes off and makes his way back to Vancouver.
And he goes to his apartment because, I mean, he was rich. Is rich.
Yeah, he spent his own money. We will find out in the next episode.
Yes. So,
but lost his wife and child are no longer with him. So he sardonically will say, honey, I'm home.
And then someone's there. Bonjour, ma chère Walter. It's Aurora.
Because they were lovers? Off screen, off panel.
Yes.
They had a thing. And
she's like, I'm no longer in a partnership with my brother. I'm here with you.
Because North Star accused her of romancing the creepy death dude
in
the previous episode.
Deadly Earnest.
Deadly Earnest.
All right.
He's like, how dare you?
Now we have the origins of North Star. Jean-Paul Martin, named all-time champion, is
a newspaper clipping.
Yeah, a newspaper clipping that Guardian is showing Aurora.
And he's like, I dug into this. You two are actually twins. And Jean-Marie, in like a gymnast outfit, is like, that's incredible. And Guardian recounts this very convoluted origin story for North Star. So their parents died. The family that adopted him couldn't afford to adopt her, so they sent her to that awful school. And then the family that adopted North Star also died. And so that's how he has a different last name.
Mm-hmm.
He's off elsewhere. But he did answer the summons, and he will be here momentarily, which you'd think if you're reuniting siblings, you'd give them some sort of...
And even so, it was the agents made contact with him 2 months ago. So he's known for 2 months.
And has not told Aurora.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, but he's pulling up right now.
Ugh, ridiculous.
Terrible planning. North Star, we cut to him in a car, thinking Parliament Hill, how strange to find myself summoned here.
Not so very long ago, I would not have come here without a bomb under my arm.
We'll get to that in a different story.
Yeah.
From a Marvel fanfare issue at some point in this run. And we get a liaison from Department H coming out.
Gary Cody.
Meeting him.
And North Star is rude.
And he's like, Mr. Martin, hi, I'm Gary Cody. And he says, the name is Beaubier.
But in French.
Yes.
And Cody's like, har har, I know that we're all supposed to be bilingual, but my French isn't all that great. And Northar's like, well, I'm not speaking English, so you're just going to have to concentrate.
Yeah. Department H has some funky outfits for the people staffing.
Right? It's like a bib, but a sweater.
No, this is very much like a Death Star trooper.
Oh, yes. With orange, says green outfit with orange shoulder pads and gloves and boots and belt, but also like a salad bowl as a helmet.
Yes.
With an orange stripe down the middle. But also Cody's outfit, he's got like a shirt, a tie, a jacket, but his sweater is just so low.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's a sweater vest.
So Cody gets him, introduces him to Mac, and Northar's like, I have no great love for the Martin family name. Like, if I'm a Beaubier, just call me a Beaubier and let's be done with it.
Mm.
And Mac sort of goes through, hey, I'm forming this team. You might be interested, but also because I know that you're a mutant and a great big cheater.
Yes. Like, how did you
rise from mediocre
yeah
to a gold medalist? And it's fun. Like, then you got money, and then you got fame, and then you got women. Although the women you didn't seem to have much interest for. Gay coding, number
Yes.
10. And yeah. So they, Mac is like,
It's
I'm forming this
basically
team.
blackmailing him into being a team member.
Kind of is.
Like, Northstar really wouldn't have joined, I feel, without this. And also, like, and behind door number two, a
That you
sister.
never knew
And
about.
she comes in, her hair is really great.
I really remember when someone made them blonde.
Oh,
It was bad.
yeah, that Machine Man issue.
Yeah.
Machine Man 18, I believe.
So she has changed out of her gymnast outfit into a lavender sweater, plum purple pants, and blue boots. It's so 80s. And he's like, wow, it's like looking to some sort of strange mirror. How could I have a twin and not know it? And he's like, Mac is like, you didn't know your name was Bobier until 8 weeks ago. I'm sure you'll adapt. And they go to shake hands, and then we'll spare your eyes the blinding flash of the Bobier twins as they discover their mutual power. And invite you to join us in 30 days as we wrap up our origin series.
With the beginnings of Sasquatch, don't miss Alpha Flight number 11 and the story we call Unleash the Beast.
Yeah.
So we only have, I mean, we have one origin story left. That's it.
Yeah, because 12 is a double issue. It's there. There's a lot of suspense built around issue 12, but we'll get to that.
Yes.
So, what do you think of these two Sasquatch Aurora issues?
I think it gives a greater depth, and knowing their relationship, it's interesting that it's paired up like that.
That they had a fling and therefore their stories are together.
Yes.
I think it makes sense with the Sasquatch heavy one, and then he's like, I'm home, and then Aurora's there.
Yeah.
Like, it still keeps it nice and tight and focused on just two people.
Yeah. I would say that North Star, if we're going through origin stories, has the least fleshed out background.
Which is okay
Like, he
because
was a
we
skier. That's all we know. And he was adopted, but he doesn't like the Martin name.
I think it's okay because we got more of that story previous episode.
Yeah.
The one
Like, they've been
with Deadly
seeding
Earnest.
him. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been seeding North Star. Oh, no.
Oh. So, yeah, he's gotten all that coding already and that relationship with Raymond Belmond,
Yeah.
the
True.
names.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us for another fantastic Alpha Flight episode.
Sorry about the bun bun drama in the middle. It's hard.
Yes. Which most of it is edited out. So
Yes.
you may be just learning about it right now, dear listener. But anyway, join us next time. And then the next Alpha Flight, 11 and 12.
Big, big episode.
All right. We'll see you later. Bye.
Be well.